I don't blame him. Isaiah 64. Now, I want to read this because, you know, the main thing that we need our focus on right now as Christians is our relationships with the Lord. And we need to know from the Lord what His will is. Not what other people tell us His will is, and not what we imagine His will is, and not even what we desire His will to be. We need to know what His will is so that we can submit, so that we can get in line with His will. And you need a clear line of communication with God Himself for this. And you have that through Jesus Christ. You have that. But you know, it takes you that time that it takes every one of us to submit in that relationship. You have a clear line of communication with God through the sacrifice of Jesus. But you know, it requires faith. And faith isn't just willy-nilly. Faith isn't about, I'll ask Him in faith, but I don't know Him. That's hard to do, isn't it? Isn't it hard to have faith in somebody you don't really know? I really want you to think about these things. Because we're talking about the difference between living this life of faith and just trying to understand it from what the Scriptures tell us. There's a big difference between those two things. This is why we are so dependent upon revelation of Christ. Because it's a matter of knowing that the voice you're hearing is from God and not your own. You know, a lot of people, when they pray, they're praying to themselves. Did you know that? Have you ever been there? The only voice they hear is their own. And they'll pray their desires, and they'll pray their wants, and they'll pray their needs, and they'll pray other people's needs. And really all they're doing is talking to themselves, because they do not have that clarity in their heart on whether or not God hears them. In fact, a lot of times, during the whole time they're praying, they're wondering if God hears them. Can you pray in faith that way? Is that what you would call a prayer of faith? Giving your petitions and your desires and your needs to someone you're not sure is listening or hearing you? That's not really a prayer of faith, is it? We need a clarity. You know, we need to know that God is touching us and that we've touched God. We need to know what His will is, and that where we're at and what we're doing is His will. We need a surety of that. Look, faith isn't wondering whether or not God hears you. Faith is being certain of what you do not see. Faith is being certain of what you do not see. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. That's being certain of what you do not see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's a substance to faith. It's not just your hope thrown out into the air. You have a surety. You know, the Holy Spirit was given you for this very purpose, so you can have a surety, so that you can grow along a sure path, so that you know what's going on is God's will. And this hasn't been taught right in a long time. The bottom line is just simply, you know, how many times have you wanted somebody, just in normal situations, to have you the answer you're looking for? Whether or not somebody's going to live or die. Whether or not you're making the right decision. Whether it be monetarily or with your kids, or whether it be about a move or taking a job. You want to know, you want to have a clear answer of what the right thing is. How many of you, and remember, we're servants of God. How many of you, if you worked for your employer and you have power to do things in His name as His assistant, how many of you are going to do things that you're not sure whether He wants done? And you wouldn't do that because you know you probably lose your job if you guess wrong, huh? See, faith isn't guessing. A good servant knows his master's will because he doesn't act by his own, and that's the point. And you can't really stand in faith if you don't have a clue as to what your master's will is. Now, you tell me, is this true or not true? Can you really stand in faith if you don't have a clue as to what your master's will is? You have to have some kind of evidence to believe this is what he wants. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. It's evidence. He acts as that evidence that you're walking in God's will. He's not going to bless your plans and your ideas and your wishful thinking. He's going to bless you in God's will. Right? And what's more, he's going to confirm God's will to you. Because he is God in you. If in fact the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. There's a clarity there. There's not a bunch of guessing games going on. I want you to think about this as we read this in Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times no one has heard, and no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Now here is the key. Who acts. Now we all want to see these things happen, don't we? We all want to see these things happen. We want to see God's name made great among the nations. Don't we? Is that part of your desire as a child of God, to see God's name made great and famous among the nations as the one true and living God? We all want to see God come down to that mountain, don't we? And make it tremble. We all want to see that sudden, this is God's will. God is acting. You know, and we want to see that in things both great and small in our lives, don't we? There's a clarity in that. When the mountain starts to tremble and you know God is walking down, there's not only a fear in that and a dread in that, but there's a clarity in that too, isn't there? There's a certainty in that. You know, when you hear that, you want to tell the nations, oh, you're in for it now. Here comes Daddy. You know, you're in for it now. You done messed up. Let me ask you a question. And it's not as far removed from what we're talking about as you might think. When you were little, you knew doing certain things that if you got caught doing them, you might get in trouble. And you didn't take it serious. And even if your mama was yelling into the room, don't do that, go to sleep. Quit playing, go to sleep. Don't do that, go to sleep. And you weren't sure whether or not she'd actually get up and come in and make you go to sleep. And you'd push it. But when Daddy got up and you heard his footsteps coming into the room, you knew you were in trouble. You didn't have to guess, did you? You didn't have to guess. You didn't have to wonder what was coming next. You knew. You didn't have to actually see Daddy show up. All you had to do is hear his footsteps. Right? And you knew certain things were going to happen. That's what we want. We want that clarity, don't we? To know. And we're not just about bad things, but all things. We want to know. We want a surety of what's going to come next. You know what? God wants you to have that surety. Come down and make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountain trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no eye, no ear has perceived, and no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Now here's a key. Those who wait for him. Those who wait for him. Now, I want to talk about you crying out to God and about your relationship with God for a minute. Do you wait upon him? See, one of the things that God has to make plain to you in this relationship is that you don't run nothing. He does. You know, timing is more about that than anything else. It's about God proving the point to you that I'm in charge. Do you really... This is part of the testing of your faith. Do you wait upon the Lord as if he's really there? Do you have any reason to believe that there's a point in waiting on him? And this is the point. Most Christians, and it's the truth, most Christians do not wait upon the Lord. Most Christians try to get up and act in his behalf and assume what his will is. And they don't have the power to act in his behalf on an assumption of what his will is. That's carnal. You do not have the power to act on God's behalf in situations on an assumption of what his will is. There's no power in that. The Holy Spirit does not back up your assumptions. He backs up what God says. He backs up what God's will is. And you know, part of your test in this life about faith, your faith that's of greater worth than gold, even though tried in the fire, it will be tested. It will be tried. And there's a point to that. And it's tried in you waiting upon the Lord. And part of it has to do with showing you your heart. Do you really want his answers to the situation, or will any answer do as long as it's quick? Anything that wants to happen, Lord, just make it quick. A lot of people get less than God's perfect will in a situation because they will not wait upon him. You would think that, Tricia, what is the use of any old answer? But you see, people settle for it all the time. You see, when people are wrestling with decisions, they haven't got a yes or no from God. They've just finally come to a decision themselves because they're tired of wrestling with it. Because they don't have the faith to wait. And what's more, they have the arrogance to take it into their own hands as if they can do something. That's the difference in settling for God's will versus the assumption of what God's will is. People think because they read the Bible and because they go to church and because they're Christians that they automatically know what God's will is. That they can just throw out a verse and say, that's God's will for this situation. Is that the way it works? I'm asking you this, you know, for your benefit. How much of your life have you spent actually waiting upon the Lord before you made a move? You know, people who make moves don't really believe that he cares. They make moves before he listens, before that he answers. They don't really believe he's listening to them. It's about faith. And what I'm telling you, is this true or not true? You tell me, is this true or not true? How much time do you spend waiting upon the Lord? who acts on behalf of those who wait on him. That's who God, you know, and I want you to remember that line. All right, Isaiah 64, verse 4. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. That's verse 4. Remember that verse. Whose behalf does God act upon? Whose behalf does God act upon? It's a standard answer. Those who wait upon him. That's whose behalf God acts upon. Those who wait upon him. It's always been that way, and it'll always be that way. God does not change. There's a great key in there to your life and how it's going to turn out. And it's very simple. God acts on the behalf of those who wait for him. Not those who run ahead of him. Not those who lag behind him. Those who wait upon him. Not those who make their own decisions. You're not going to find the verse, God helps those who help themselves. It's those who wait upon the Lord. That's whose behalf God acts upon. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. Now, there's 2 points in here, and you need this translated for you. You need this interpreted for you by the Holy Ghost. Notice, those who wait upon the Lord are broken into these two categories. Those who gladly do right, and who remember your ways. Ooh. Let's deal with the second one first. God bless you, Jim. Go with God. Those who gladly do right and those who remember your ways. The first of all is, it's not your way but God's way. It's those who submit to God's will. Those who submit to the Word. Those who value God's thinking above their own thinking. Those who value what the Word says above their own opinions. I want to deal with the second one first because it's all important. It's not a matter of what you think. Do you value what God thinks first? Do you value His way above your own? You'll never get anywhere in this faith. You'll never grow the way you should if you do not value God's ways above your own. If you do not value His thinking above your own and His Word above anything that you have an opinion about. If God's way isn't first, if you don't acknowledge that His is the only right way and mine pretty well sucks, if you don't acknowledge that, then you're never going to be a good servant and you're never going to progress in faith. Now deal with the first one. Those who gladly do right. How do you gladly do right? If you gladly do right, you're submitted. Because it's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. And that comes back to the same thing, doesn't it? You don't live by your own opinions. You don't live by your own desires. You live by His desires in you. You live by the Holy Spirit. You don't praise God because you're afraid you're going to get punished if you don't. You don't do right because you're afraid that there's a judgment. You do right because it is your nature to do right. You gladly do it. You understand? It is your nature because you walk by the nature of the Spirit so that you do not gratify the nature of the flesh. You walk by the nature of the Spirit so that you do not gratify the nature of the flesh. You gladly do right. You sow to the Spirit who wants to please God. Whose desire is to please God. Whose desire is to submit to God. Those two things make up those who wait upon the Lord. You know that? Those who gladly do right and who remember God's ways. Those are those who wait upon the Lord. Do you understand that? Is that broken down pretty good for you? You can take these two things and apply it to everything you do. You can answer the question, are you one who waits upon the Lord? Because do you gladly do right? Not begrudgingly. Do you gladly do right because of the nature of Christ at work in you? Will submit to God? Do you remember God's ways? Is that what's on your mind? See, remember is about what's on your mind. Is God's ways on your mind ahead of your own? See, most people, especially those who call themselves Christian, it's their ways that are on their mind. Right? Who walks on behalf of those who wait for him, you come to the help of those who gladly do right and who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, his ways, when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts as like filthy rags. And why did their righteous acts become as filthy rags? Because they weren't doing them by God's will. They didn't gladly do right. They did righteous acts according to their own thinking, and they did them begrudgingly against their own wills. They didn't come from the nature of God. It came from the nature of the flesh. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. And you know what? The majority of the world is in that basket I just showed you. The ribs of that basket hold the majority of the world. Let me read it again. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. Now, this is important. Strives to lay hold of you. What do people strive to lay hold of? Look at Christians. Are they striving to lay hold of God, or are they striving to lay hold of things they can get? You see people striving to lay hold of wealth and health. You see people striving to lay hold of a relationship with another person. You see people striving to lay hold of money. You see people striving to lay hold of anything that they can feed their flesh with. But you don't see people in generally seeking after God. Even here, like on Pal Talk, where people are talking about God all the time, most of the people are striving just to prove that they're right. To other men of corrupt minds. They're not striving to seek after God. They're striving to show how much better they are than you. How many people do you really know who in their hearts and in their lives are striving to lay hold of God? A lot of people seeking gifts, but very few people seeking the giver. To come to know Him. To know His will, to gratefully seek His face, to joyfully do right. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. You want to understand why people do not hear from God? This is why. You want to understand why God is hiding from them? This is why. It all comes down to this. Those who do not think they need a Savior will never find one. Wow. Those who do not think they need a Savior will never look for one, and so they'll never find one. It was a fact that all of us by nature did not search after God. God reveals Himself to us through our need. First, he showed us a need for a Savior, didn't he? And then we sought after him. He showed us a need for a Savior, and then gave us the promise of a Savior, and then we sought after him. Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners and enemies, and nobody sought after him. And we have a whole bunch of people that are just like that. And what's more, we have a whole bunch of people who are Christians who are just like that, who call themselves Christians. They don't seek after God or seek his will. They take the name Christian and they rubber stamp it on their forehead and they walk around and carry out their own lives under the guise of that name to fulfill their own desires and their own lusts and their own ideas. They will not wait upon the Lord. They do not seek him. Can you see that the whole plan of right here, what we have been talking about in Isaiah 64 is the difference between those who seek after God and wait upon the Lord and those who do not. Because the fact is, God has hidden himself from all men because of sin. You cannot see holiness through sin. That's exactly why Jesus told Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Because you cannot see holiness through sin. A blind man cannot heal himself. Only God can bring him sight. But men didn't think to cry out to God in that blindness. They were given over to that blindness because they did not acknowledge God in their thinking. And that's what it's telling you right here. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Well, it's in that wasting away that we see our need for a Savior. You understand that? It's in the fact that all the physical goes away and you have that sense of eternity. It should make you look back to God and to seek him out. And God, through Jesus, paying the price for you, has enabled you to cry out to him now. And what's more, he's enabled you to hear his answer, all through Jesus. But how many people are going to wait upon the Lord in the light of the good news of this glorious gospel? Though it be preached that they can cry out to God, they have to see their need for God first, don't they? Let me tell you right now that God is endeavoring to show everyone in this world their need for a Savior. And it's going to begin on a great scale. And it's you're going to see this very situation. The mountains tremble before him when he comes down to make his name known among his enemies. When he comes down and causes the nations to quake before him. All of these things show how close his coming is. It's hearing his footsteps. So that they can be sure the gospel that's preached about him is true. You understand? So that maybe they will fall upon their knees and seek after the one they haven't sought for. And seek to know his will. That they will submit themselves. The whole world will know that God sent Jesus before this is over with. And the whole world is going to know that we are his people. Those of us who truly seek him and wait upon him. Because he'll show himself glorious through us. Amen? It's a good place to stop.